Handsome Hank. That's it. What? Are you trying to get out of here? You don't have to get fussy like that.
All right.
Although I gotta go. I must. I've got things to get to.
David. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Well, well, well. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program here in Studio 66. Everybody's rosy-cheeked and they appear to be healthy. However, as you just heard there, well, maybe it wasn't full evidence there, but you did hear the voice of Handsome Hank excuse himself right at the end of a gangbusters DDFP. And I know that I will pat ourselves on the back on occasion for a good one, but Mike Daniels, number 76 from the Green Bay Packers, what a gem of a fella. What a great time me and Handsome had speaking with him. The 30 minutes blows by. The entire episode only goes for another, what, 7-8 minutes, something like that, Spaghetti? Is that right? I think something like that.
It was like 40 total, so 30 with him, 10 with you.
Yeah, and so I felt like we had some meat left on the bone, but Handsome, just out of the blue, I've got to go. He gets up and he leaves the room. What gives? Well, why don't you tell us, Handsome, what happened there?
Dave, approximately 17 seconds after I left the room.
It was weird how you ghosted. I said to Spaghetti, is he really gone? He just left? He's just out of the room?
So I was really gone. And I don't know if you've noticed, but if you've been on a lot of these shows, it's your show. You're not the quickest person to wrap the show up. And so when you started wrapping up, I normally assume there's at least 4 minutes left after the point that you say, okay, we're done. That's all we've got time for today. But then we actually have 4 more minutes. I wasn't going to be able to last all 4 of those minutes.
Because
about 17 seconds after I made my excuses, which wasn't a good excuse, I just said, I've got to go. I was vomiting in the bathroom just around the corner from here.
Really?
Really, yes.
So you went, so you go.
So I loved our conversation with Mike Daniels. He is, as you said, wonderful guy, super nice character. I really enjoyed it. We all shook hands and said goodbye after that.
Was anyone in the bathroom?
We'll get to that, Eddie. We shook hands. I felt fine.
The journalism
then.
There.
I felt fine then. You know, we got 5 minutes into our discussion afterwards. I think I answered some of the questions. At this point, I'm getting a little woozy, but I answered some of the questions that Mike
Enough time. 30 minutes proved.
Eddie had written 70 questions for us to ask Mike Daniels. We only got through 4 of them. So
Mike Daniels himself said on social media that he felt 30 minutes.
Wasn't enough. He wants to come back. So then I began to feel unwell. Mm-hmm. I exited. I get to the bathroom just around the corner. So we're on the.
I'm fascinated by. I'm sorry to pour over it second by second.
No, well, we should because I want to get to the point where Hank is regurgitating his meal while you're actively still mocking him.
Yeah.
For
interesting.
Doing so.
Yeah, that's great. You know, by the way, though, just as we did it with Mike Daniels. We did his draft day story. We've done this with a number of players, and they pour over second by second what it was like as they heard another person's name.
This is my draft day story.
This is basically, I don't want to speed through it there, Handsome. The other voice you just heard seated to Handsome's immediate left there. One of our very favorites. He's been away. We booked the show. Here's how it goes to pull back the curtain. We booked the show in September. Basically, with our ironclad cast, you know. So if you've been listening to the DDFP during the NFL season, you heard a lot of Maurice Jones-Drew and Colleen Wolfe in the first part of the week, and then in the second half of the week, you heard a lot of Handsome, Matt Money Smith, Cindy Freeland. Those were the people, and somehow Patrick Claibon, he and I did something on Sunday nights. But
I liked that. What you guys did on a Sunday night, that was fun.
It was very fun. Yes,
I liked it. Yeah,
People close to me, once again, I can't believe I forgot to say it this deep into the show. Mo Damashek, the all-time most popular guest of all time.
Your biggest fan.
Yes. a fan's a fan. She's going to be joining us. We've already recorded it. It was 30 minutes of great fun. Stay on the lookout for that. But among the people who are closer theoretically to me than they are to Patrick Claibon, it's like, that Patrick is terrific. In fact, your name comes up with Mo Damashek later in the episode.
Yes!
We play Dave Orr, you know, who's more handsome, and I show a series of photographs. Handsome, your name also comes up in that. You're going to want to stick around for that.
I'm just glad to be mentioned at all.
She said, she said, it's a good thing Claybon isn't mentioned here because he is very good looking. And she didn't want to say Claybon.
Really?
Over,
she wouldn't
over
give
her
an
own.
Answer.
She wouldn't give an answer.
Okay, I don't want
That's
to
the best possible
it, yes.
answer that I could
did
get.
Did you ask about Eddie?
I did. I think I asked about spaghetti, or did I not?
No, you made you try to make Mo rank every DDFP like that's producer right. personality, and she refused to say anything. She did like Emma.
She chose Emma number one.
Yeah,
Emma is number
picked
one.
Me,
yeah,
so.
Emma
that's
is number one.
Selection.
Thank you guys.
Everywhere
over you though, handsome. She said that's she likes you very much too. So it seemed like that was.
I would
the
pick
away.
Emma.
It was
I'd pick
like
Emma over
and
me.
Handsome, and then we don't know. Like she likes got to Eddie, but
she likes Maurice and Matt Money Smith a lot too. Anyway. So handsome. I'm sorry. Rude interruption there. I just wanted to
oh,
say hello.
I rudely interrupted your show. Our so third it's only studio. Fair that you rudely interrupt me while yeah. while I regurgitate the story.
Yes, I'd like to hear more regurgitation. Continue where you left off.
So I dashed from the seat that I'm sitting in.
First, now. Though, while yeah. you're sitting here, does it occur to you somewhere during the Mike Daniels portion?
No. I'm long after Mike Daniels.
Well, you were only in here for another 8 minutes. So
that's
the,
what I'm saying.
So
this
you
is
feel
why this
fine.
Is such a bizarre. I feel fine. I shake hands with Mike Daniels. Dave, that was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. Let's carry on. Let's do a bit more. I wasn't like, at that right. point, I could have easily said, I think I may need to exit.
Okay.
Now, I began the next portion
of the
show.
Then we continue to kibitz.
We're kibitzing at this point.
And you say, oh, wow.
And I'm like,
oh, there's, feeling that yeah, just
there's
passed through my
bad,
body.
That's a strange feeling, but I'll be fine. What could possibly be wrong?
Right.
And even if I'm not fine, you know, nothing's going to go wrong in the next 8 minutes.
I mean, everybody, I assume, has those very minor bouts of nausea that wash
yeah,
through
right.
you every month
I mean,
or two.
And
or
let's face
ooh,
it.
I don't feel so great.
You've been
why?
In studio with you for 45 minutes. More than likely to
fair.
Happen. You know, suddenly you catch sight of some food in Dave's beard.
And that
still,
usually happens.
That's going to bring on
if
that,
we go for
feeling.
More light than an hour, you know, my tradition each show is to get drunk before we start
right,
it. So,
exactly.
like, if it goes beyond 60 minutes, it starts – start to feel a little hungover.
Yeah.
And I feel that.
Right,
feel,
exactly.
That same thing. So go ahead.
Okay, so then I dash to the bathroom. And then, so there's just around the corner from the studio, there's a bathroom. But it's a public bathroom. And in America, and this is actually something that is very very specific to the U.S. as opposed to other countries, I find you guys don't like to use a lot of plywood or whatever you would use between the actual toilets, like the you know those
yeah.
cubicles.
Yeah, it's all. No,
don't tell me you made
where
in
I
a,
come
in a
where
urinal.
I come from. No. Oh. Where I come from, they will build the wall all the way to the ceiling and all the way to the floor between those areas because you don't want. I don't like to overhear anything that's going on in that room at that point. It's a private moment for everyone, and I don't you know. That it's not just that, okay, fine, let's do it almost to the ceiling and
why
almost
can't
to the
we?
Floor.
Why can't
but,
we as a
But in
a
the U.S., you're like, we'll take 4 foot off, and all you're, there's really just a strip of wall that covers, you know,
we're all about
a quite tall person, you know, but I can see your feet, and I can, you know, if you stand up, you could probably, if you stood on tiptoes, you can
so
look
so many
in
Americans there. So worried about socialism, except when it comes to public bathrooms. Then
right.
it's everybody's business. We all, when you go
what's
to a sporting
event
now? In the U.S., it's you almost standardly now make in a trough, a yeah. You know, a communal trough of one.
Of we.
Yeah, of we. I don't, yeah.
We go
me,
here.
Is we in this
exactly.
case? Yeah,
we go here.
I don't like that. And you're right. If that's an option, I didn't know that that existed in other societies around the Big Blue Marble. So what you're saying is,
build
you
a wall.
Basically have your own
build
room.
A wall. Is
you
what
have
I'm
a room,
saying, Dave. Yeah, you
build
have a room.
Build a wall. I like that. You should run for something.
Don't you run into some cleanliness issues when the wall goes all the way to the floor?
Why?
Because obviously, not everybody's as gifted, right? It's
accurate, you mean?
Depositing the Wii.
I'm not talking about the Wii. I'm
I
talking
want the room,
about the
I
next
want the room.
Level stuff.
I so, want the room for a longer I mean, stay.
Even yeah, in that right. situation, we have some toilets that flush violently, not to get too into the weeds on this.
Okay.
And so,
into the weeds.
Into the weeds.
And so somebody has to clean these bathrooms.
It's true.
Perhaps they're easier to clean if the stall doesn't go all the way.
Is
that's
there
a great
anyone,
point. If, and if that's the reason, then that's fine. But all I'm saying is let's build the wall almost to the floor and almost to the ceiling.
I've just been accused of being anti-American for various reasons, and I just want to state for the case that sometimes we do things for a reason.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Smart.
Is
I
there
didn't
any
realize that.
We've spent a fair amount of time recently talking about bad behavior on a 30,000 feet in the sky and just after you land, that guy who has to push his way. Doesn't push his way. There's an opportunity for him to take one step up to get past the row that's supposed to be exiting while an old lady grabs her bag from the overhead. He has to take advantage of that that narrow gap like he's Gale Sayers in 64 or something like that. I think that that's a bad human being. The person who takes his shoes and socks off on an airplane or in any public space, shameful. I have to add to that list also the guy who spits his gum into a urinal. What kind of person?
Yeah, why do you need to do it then?
Somebody has to get that. Doug?
Hey, man. I don't know if you heard. Another man has to stick his hand now into the urinal to retrieve your gum. You know that, too. You know that I know when you spit that gum in there, you are lucid enough to know that there isn't a gap in that urinal that's going to accept the size of your chewed gum. So what else is going to happen? What do you think, bub? Somebody's going to have to stick his mitt in there and pick up your refuse.
Yep.
Is that a word? Refuse?
Yeah, refuse. Yeah. All
right. There's a trash can 5 feet away.
Shame on you. Shame on you, sir. Go ahead, Andy.
Okay. But when I got to the bathrooms, my eyes lit up because the big one, the disabled one was free. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I might need the space.
In this case, you were disabled.
I was, exactly. So I felt fine going in there. And also all the other ones were being used, which is not good. So now I'm you know, we're 15 seconds from me saying goodbye
to you.
Act as
some sort of an expectorant, though, right?
Right.
This is only going to help my...
Right. We're 15 seconds.
I don't want to get stuck. Like, is it going to happen or not? Oh!
Oh, no, it's definitely happening. Oh. At this point, as I get into the bathroom, I can feel that there's no turning back.
Okay.
But fortunately, there's a big space for me to get into.
Any point where you become... See, the moment that is a fascinating one and is it ranks among the most memorable moments of your life is... I could probably tick off 4 or 5 instances of this when you realize... It's the point of no return, as you say. Right. Like, am I going to fight this nausea? How much can I fight this nausea? But there comes a point when you're going to throw up and there's nothing more you can do about it and you accept it and you resist it. Most human beings at least resist it to the last possible moment.
Embrace it.
Nope. Not going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. Now I got to get somewhere. Where am I putting this? In the urinal, like the gum guy.
There's a more extreme version of this that happens later in this story. But anyway, so
intrigued.
I do what was necessary. It's weird doing that because you guys leave such a big gap on the floor. I can see people's shoes at the same time.
Literally,
I'm kneeling.
At least one colleague literally no more than 3 feet away
right,
from you.
Exactly, partly I'm like, should I try and disguise that I'm just doing what anyone else would be doing in this stall? Because you get embarrassed about that, even though you're never going to. So I'm like, oh, maybe I could just be. Well, I don't know. We don't need to get into it. But it was.
There's only so many options.
What exactly was your fever?
No, I got a little worried that, like, what if people know that I'm being sick in here? But then.
So
at
you
the same
like
time,
wanted to say something in an American accent,
yeah, like,
just in case.
Hey, man. Gotta get that out.
That would have been a great idea. If you were a great impressionist right. like I am of you,
I would have,
if I ever have to vomit at work, now you've just put that into my head. I'm going to use that one. Like, oh, apologies all. Sorry, dear colleagues.
They'd be like, no worries, Hank.
I've had some...
Hey, Hank, don't worry. You're right in there, man.
Your version of a burger didn't agree with me, I'm afraid. Excuse me, all. Right? That's what I'm going to do going forward. Yeah. You didn't have that.
I didn't have
you
that.
You thought about trying.
I did think about it. So,
I like the idea that you were so ashamed.
The panicked musings of an ill man.
I'd love that, exactly. But really, how can I disguise this? What's available to me?
That was what's in there. But then on the other hand, I have this thing, and this may not be common to everyone. I've never asked anyone, but we can talk about it now.
Okay.
No better place.
When this happens to me, when I'm sick, it makes me weep. I will weep for my mother. I'll weep for my mother.
Because you feel sad for yourself?
I feel bad for myself.
You've let your mom down?
I've let myself down and I need help. And the only person at that moment that could really help me is my mum.
Your father and I
gave up so very much to make you where you are today, and this is how you repay us.
Exactly. That's what's going on. So then you have that awful moment where you're like, you know that if you looked in the mirror, you'd be sheet white. Like, you got a cold sweat.
Right.
But the worst of it is over, or so you think. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, Dave, my thoughts turned to you, mm-hmm. and I sent you a text in which I apologized for leaving as quickly as I had done.
You know what? You know what that
it was? How long
that
after that?
Me?
Was that like 10 minutes after
that
I left?
That said to me that you were classy.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's the one thing. I may have just vomited publicly, but I at least want to retain my dignity.
Deepest apologies, colleague.
That's what I said. I sent you a text saying, deepest apologies, Dave.
Unprofessional, that.
But I explain myself. Dave, you know, always full of good advice, sends me a text back again saying, phew, this could be the start of something bad. I'm like, yes, it certainly seemed like it. You should go home. Thank you for your advice.
Got to get in the car immediately. Because if you get into, there's a window there, obviously, optimally, you're at home when the whole thing starts.
Right.
But
right.
if you ever, pro tip, you ever throw up because you're at the start of food sickness or some sort of a flu, get home ASAP.
You're right. You're
because once you
right.
get to the second one, then you're just essentially paralyzed. Then you're stuck where you are.
Yes, you are.
Because it's going to be every 6 to 11 minutes. Where are you getting in a car?
You're
and
in the bathroom at that point for the foreseeable future.
That's when you right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to be lying on the floor with just a new pair of shoes every 6 minutes.
Yes.
Yes. Like, okay, hey.
Oh, greetings, Ladanian. Good to see you once again. You might want to choose another public restroom, sir.
Exactly. I'd hate if that happened in front of LT. That would be, for me, that would be the worst thing.
Oh, good to see you again,
happened.
Mike Daniels. I just took leave of you. What have you been doing with yourself? I've got to give you
Excuse me for a second. yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted to avoid, Dave. And so I took your advice,
right.
and I got in the car. And I live on a good day, 15 to 20 minutes away from here. And I thought, you know, that's Dave's given me some sound advice. Pack myself up, get in the car, go home. Friday evening on the 405 is not necessarily
traffic-y.
The best time for me to be to be traveling in the state that I was in. So I got in the car. I drove. Things were going well. I was like, hey, I'm going to make this. This is going to be fine. I'm going to get home, and then, you know, then I'm in my own space, and everything's going to be okay. And then I hit some traffic, and we're not moving very fast. And I'm sitting there, and I'm still. And then I'm talking myself into it. To your point earlier on, but because I'd made it to the bathroom, I was like, I don't need to worry about it. Here we go. At this point, I'm like...
Probably a Papa John's ad
right.
came on, and that pushed you over the edge.
It was, actually. I had to turn the music off. I was like, I can't have sound in my ear. I can't have anything. I need to concentrate on getting home. Like, nothing else will do. But I hit the traffic, and there came a point where there was nothing I could do. So I wound down the window and locked eyes with the person in the next-door car and decorated the road between us. Which is like
which is an incredible moment for them.
Yeah, for them it's an incredible moment because they're like, oh, and then I'm like, it's worse.
Did you have
there's
power
not even
windows?
A wall between us.
Did
there's,
you have power?
I've got
windows?
Power windows in my
well,
car.
What do you think, Craig?
That's a blessing. What if you were cranking and like halfway, blah, I went up on the wall on the window.
Well,
that
Dave,
would be no good.
It's funny you should say that.
Wait a second. So you're driving.
I'm
driving.
Well, I'm not driving.
Stuck in traffic.
I'm in traffic. So
and
I'm
you're thinking to yourself,
I'm just sitting in a car.
I
on a road.
Hope I can make it home.
No, I didn't. I, at that
Queen
point, I knew
Mum,
I was...
help me now. If you're ever going to help me, do so now, Queen Mum.
Queen Mum, there's nothing she could do in this.
And you
this
knew
situation.
It. There's no avoiding this,
right.
and it's coming.
So
out.
The window goes down, and
oh, what a sight! I wish I could have been.
Terrible sight. A terrible sight.
Oh, what I would. I would give so much to have seen that. To have been in the
Why?
Car behind you.
Why?
Because I would have gotten out and interviewed the car next to you and asked them how they felt about what they just saw.
Okay. So,
perfectly
well,
summing up L.A. traffic. There's this
exactly.
man just vomiting on the road out of his car. It's like a tourism pamphlet.
Yes, then I would have distributed it to all of the news affiliates in L.A., and then I would have sent it off to London town.
Local boy done bad.
Yeah, exactly. All over the road. So, but luckily the traffic, you know, so then I'm like, okay, whew, we did that, and then the traffic speeds up again as it does. You get past a junction, you know, suddenly the traffic moves along again. I get off the 405, and then I'm driving into the neighborhood where I live, and then suddenly again, the feeling comes over me, and this time there's no warning signs or moment of reflection. It's arrived, and the window's up. And
oh no!
And,
oh my!
And if you could write off your car internally, that's what I did.
Oh no!
At that point, you know, the windscreen, the steering wheel.
My God!
The whole thing. This is a terrible situation to be in.
Oh, like, and this is like the scene in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sam Jackson like and Travolta.
It's exactly like that, apart from in the front of my car. But at this point,
you call Harvey Keitel.
The wolf. There's nothing he could have done.
The wolf couldn't even help.
No,
me out
even
in
the
this.
Wolf. In this point, where there's nothing, I had to be my own wolf. We'll get to that. So, but at this point, I'm 3 minutes away from home. You'd think my body would have been kind enough to say, okay, we've put you in this terrible situation, but we're gonna let you get home.
You've handled it with a plumbing grace.
Your dignity is still intact. We're gonna let you get home. But actually, that's not what happened.
As you weep.
As I'm weeping, exactly.
I love also the thought of you vomiting on the freeway and the people next to you looking at it. And I wonder if they're struck by, like, this is an outrage. He is crying.
He is crying.
I think he feels bad about it already.
He appears to be shouting for his mother. But then, if you can imagine, like, suburban Los Angeles, the sun's out. The children are out of school.
Golden hour.
It's golden hour. The children are out of school.
Beautiful.
They're playing soccer in their front yards, whatever.
Beautiful.
So I pull into, first of all, the first thing I notice is that my family is not home. So once again, I've been crying for my mother, but my wife would have been fine. Mm-hmm. There's no one at home. So I pull into the driveway and reflect on everything that's happened to me over the last 15 minutes or so.
That's a bad moment, too. That I'm glad you avoided that, because I got the flu last year. And you turn into, like, the guy who, when your kids are around, you kind of turn into someone who's mid-transformation into a werewolf kind of thing. You know, like, you're halfway, like get away!
Well, they
turn, like, or you're turning, like, in 28 days later, you know, like, you're turning into a zombie, and you're, like, 30 seconds away from full zombie. You're like, Go now! Kill me now!
Exactly.
Pull the trigger! You know,
do it for yourself.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So all the, you know, the neighbor, the kids are out. They're throwing footballs. They're playing soccer. Whatever.
Lovely.
And I get out of the car. And do you remember when you correctly predicted the Steelers' record?
I remember that. Which time?
The most recent
sixth time in a row.
Do you remember when I threw a bucket of confetti over you and it was all over you?
Yes.
And you were drenched in it.
Yes.
Well, if you can imagine that, but vomit instead. That's what I looked like when I got out of my car, and all the neighbors, hi, how are you? Ooh. And the children are looking at
me. Your neighbor missed out.
And I'm badly decorated and look like something
from
Halloween. So I mean, so
I
things,
thought you were just gonna throw up again there. That would have been a great
just the memory. So things are not going well for me. Then I get in the house. Obviously, I have to take the clothes off and, you know, essentially burn them. But then my thoughts turn to, look, I don't know what's going to happen to me next, but the most important thing in my life right now
is that you're completely nude.
Is that I'm completely nude, but also that I need to get back to my car to rescue the car, because there's only so long.
It dries.
There's only so long you can leave the car in that state before take the insurance.
Yeah,
take the insurance
and
set the whole thing on fire. That was like, it was either
clean insurance form.
Am I mistaken, or is that a new ride?
Yeah, I had to. So then
Then
I go back and, you know, open the door and just witness the damage that's been done.
That's a striking moment, because
when you're in it, you're like, this isn't so bad. Most of it's on me, but actually it turns out most of it wasn't on me. Most of it was on everything else.
The car, I can't imagine all the nooks and crannies it could get
in. What are the tools that, believe me, it's like the window frame where the window goes in when you power wind the window
maybe
down.
It is best that we just have Eddie Spaghetti and a couple of his pals come out from New York yeah. and dispose of that thing the way they typically would.
Exactly. That's
don't worry. Consider it done.
Just push it in the canal.
So then... just let it go. So
Cement boots. You read me. Problem solved. Next.
I get a bucket and a cloth and have at it. But there's a one moment where I remember where the doors open. The whole door of the inside of the door is it's a terrible sight. And there's a man walking past with his dog. By now, at least I don't look too bad. But his dog sort of, you know how dogs, like they like food and they like the smell of food. Mm-hmm. So the dog yanks the man over as he's walking. And he's like, "Oh, come back." And then he sees what
dogs have
happening.
Slightly
dogs,
more dignity than
like,
I do when it comes
to eating. I'll eat right? vomit. It's fine. That's right. You know, that they do that themselves. They eat that, they'll vomit and then they'll eat their own vomit. I've watched dogs do that before. So they're probably not that fussy. If it's my vomit, they'll eat that too. So he pulls him over and then he sees what's happening. And this man is shocked and disappointed in me. Mm. The way that his
just
eyes
just like your
eat
mom,
mine.
The like, one you envision. Right. Right. As your next time you vomit, you're going to think about him.
Exactly.
How you let him down too. Cry extra hard.
So then I managed to clean it, and then a day later I take it to a professional cleaner to really.
Did you tell them it was vomit?
Well, so that's the thing, because I was embarrassed, as you know, because I'm embarrassed about the fact that it was me that vomited. I had to say someone vomited in the car. Now, it was pretty obvious that I was arriving in my car and it was the driver's seat.
You didn't, this person who did this, I don't know why he's a French guy, but yeah.
That's French.
I don't know what who happened to this.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't basically, know. I was like, someone vomited in the front seat, in the driver's seat of my car. So
your exchange with the car wash guys must be the greatest.
And I said, you really need to pay special attention to this area and this area, like in where the window goes. And they're like, oh, we don't normally clean that. Wow. You're going to need to today.
For not the guy that vomited, you sure do have a lot of knowledge on where exactly. the vomit is in this car.
What it must have been a day later. The stench must have been
well, so here's what I did.
Right?
I Googled what's the best way to get rid of a terrible smell in a car. I didn't specifically write vomit in case that came back to haunt me.
Right.
But they said white vinegar.
Okay.
Right, you put a bowl of white vinegar, it'll suck the smell in. Hmm. So I do that.
Neat.
Guess what my car smells like? Vomit and white vinegar.
Suddenly you're
like a really sour vomit smell. So then
smells like home.
So then smells like home. So then they said also coffee. So what I did is I bought myself some coffee the next day and just left the coffee cups in there when I
and it worked?
No, not particularly well. But when they cleaned it, they shampooed everything and then they gave me one of those smelly trees.
And did you tell your wife and kids about what had happened?
Of course. I wanted some sympathy from somewhere.
All right. I didn't know. And then magically you wake up the next
so
day.
Then, yeah. So then after I've finished cleaning the car myself, the first effort at that, I then drag myself into bed and sleep for 16 hours or something like that. You know how you have that spell comes over you and you're just bound to the bed. And I woke up the next day, felt great, right as rain.
What a
and
story.
That's the end of the story. Wow. I'm sorry we've wasted this whole podcast.
Courageous effort to turn back around and appear here not 48 hours later.
I am feeling
later.
A bit funny actually now.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, would that be something? All right, well, we have Mo Damashek here, but we also have Patrick Claibon.
I'm sorry, Patrick. I didn't mean to go quite
I can't imagine. We Claibon, with all due respect, I don't imagine you have a more engaging
nothing.
Tale than that one.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I would
vomiting,
like
looking into somebody's eyes on the 405. That,
can somebody? It doesn't have to be you, Claibon. I think Handsome's been through enough this week. Spaghetti or MVP behind the glass. Can at least one of the three of you vomit? Because that would be some streak that we could brag on. You know,
why not you?
That would cut
through.
Why don't
you be that guy?
A lot of podcasts out there, but imagine, like, hey, this particular podcast has a two-show streak of somebody throwing up on
you. You know what's funny? When you when someone else does, like, puke or whatever, and you in yourself, you're like kind of like, ugh, I don't feel so – I had to go back and watch the video of the show just to see what the point when Handsome
Please
Hank
Please tell
turned.
Me
Did
it
you
made
see
you
it?
Throw up.
No, I didn't throw up, but I saw how he was reacting, and he started like,
I was shifting
leaning,
in
like,
my chair
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, he
yeah,
was, like,
I
moving
was doing
far,
a lot
like,
of-
his face was like – like got very still. This is great for podcasting. He was like moving his collar and like he had like a sip of water here and there, and he was like
The water, you know what? The water, I think, was what put me over the top. When I had that sip of water, I was like, oh, there's no turning back now.
That's another good pro tip. Don't put people often do that still in 2018. Somehow the word isn't out.
Still in 2018.
Well, it's weird that people still do drink cold stuff. I would think everybody's aware of
that. I don't know. Tell
it
me.
Yes, if you are vomitous, yes, the cold agitates your belly.
Right?
People always say, oh, I need a Coke. Give me a ginger ale or whatever. People have their magic remedies. The issue is the cold. Drink it at room temp. The bubbles will help you. That's good. Mm. But what you don't need is that cold.
The bubbles help. I'd think the bubbles would.
But the cold actually is an agitator.
There you go.
People can't figure out, why am I even sicker? The worst moment to get to, though, in the whole vomiting experience, in my particular experience, is the third, fourth, and fifth rounds of it. Like the first two, maybe even three, you can still summon something. But it's when you cross the line into your stomach not being made aware that, like, oh, we're still doing this, but there's nothing in there anymore to purge.
I didn't get that. That was
you start making those noises into the.
I could identify.
The worst thing. It's the worst. Most. If you ever had that, that would be people. Oh, do you have nude pictures of these people? Whatever. That's how you would get me.
The worst.
You have audio of Dave.
But you're still not crying at this point.
Yeah.
How are you still not crying?
Hank is weeping.
At that point, sobbing uncontrollably. Yeah. How are you not crying when you're vomiting?
How does somebody in the bathroom hear you crying and vomiting and not like say something?
Nobody says a word to you. And you don't say as you exit, sorry about that.
Hold on a second. I don't say that because I'm trying to pretend that I'm not vomiting. That would be ridiculous. But would you, in that situation, if you heard someone doing that, would you be the guy in the bathroom that knocks on the door? And I know the answer to this, Dave, and it's no. Would you knock on the door and say, hey, you all right in there? Can I do anything to help? No, you wouldn't. You're not that good of a person.
No, I would not do that. Exactly. But I would definitely.
So why would you expect anyone would do it for me?
I would definitely use this as an opportunity to have a laugh. Yeah. I definitely would.
Without question. And I think it's a sign that we're up here on the second floor. If this happens on the first floor, somebody at least laughs or says something.
Yeah.
But up here, it's like this weird buttoned-up society. And it's like,
true.
I'm not going to acknowledge this guy is crying.
What kind of behavior? No one says a word? You don't say, apologies. If it were me doing the vomiting, I would announce
it. Yeah,
sorry about that, everybody.
Bear in mind that there's been a couple of rotations of people through the who could hear this. So it wouldn't make sense when I'd finished up. Make sense to apologize because for most of the people in there, they don't know, what are you apologizing for? I'm not going to explain. Oh, you missed it. But like 7 minutes ago, I was really angrily sick into this. In this bathroom.
I love what the conversations in the neighborhood must have been. Mm-hmm. Did you see Henry Hodge? The English guy.
Oh, my God. He was covered in puke.
The handsome guy, you mean? Well, I don't know if he's handsome. I don't think you think he's handsome anymore there after what I saw. I don't know what he's up to. I think he might have a little bit of a drinking problem. Middle of the day, he gets home, he's covered in puke.
My neighbor.
And then LaDainian Tomlinson talks about it on Total Access.
I don't want that happening. No. Not LT.
No.
I couldn't take it from him.
I don't know what happened, Dan. I'm going into the bathroom and there's Henry throwing up on everything. All right, Claybon, before we get to Mo Damashek, I hate that we've summoned you for our first off-season show, including you, and I hope that you will be a prominent figure over these coming months here. So let's talk a little bit about football. You have yet to weigh in on this subject. Me, Handsome, and Matt Money Smith have a finger bet going right now.
Oh.
Not unlike the one that we had preseason.
I still have some fingers left, so we're good.
You do, and what saved your...
What was your...
Well, he said that the Raiders were going to miss the playoffs, and we all gasped, but that's what saved his finger for... Right. He was spot on. The new bet is that, I mean, we're still kind of vague, but I think we figured it out.
We're not that vague, Dave. You're
from the start of 2017
to
the start of the 2018 season, I submit at least 10 NFL teams will have changed their starting quarterback. We're well on the way to getting there.
And the bit that needs to really be clarified before Dave loses more than one finger is it's the guy that they – would have intended to start the 2018 season with at quarterback. So, for example, Jay Cutler is not going to count as one of Dave's 10.
Correct.
Because it wasn't the goal of the Miami Dolphins to put Jay Cutler on the field on day one of 2018. It just they were forced into that situation.
Asterisk, if Ryan Tannehill's not under center, then
I get
that.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
All right. But not because of injury, though.
Not because of injury.
Right. But we know the Chiefs, obviously, with Mahomes.
So the Chiefs will be one.
And we know Alex Smith is there. That's two. Blake Bortles is a blow to my plan.
Eli Matt, the day that we did this was the day, I think, around the week that the Giants benched Eli, and you were very confident about that one, too. And maybe you'll still be right.
But do I get – I see, here's the one we need to resolve.
Oh, you need an official?
You want Deshaun Watson. You're not getting Deshaun Watson.
I mean, how dare you insult me like that? Made it very clear from the get-go that I never wanted Deshaun Watson. I was a gentleman from the get-go saying,
"Well, you're not getting him." So that was.
I didn't want.
Start this part of the conversation.
I should have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, it was
my
Jimmy
argument.
G. It was Jimmy G. Yeah.
The Jimmy Garoppolo one. I mean, he wasn't even on the roster till November, but I'm expected to.
Ideally, would they have had?
You should get Jimmy G.
No, you're not getting Jimmy G.
Thank you. Of course I should. But the other one, okay, so the Browns still are subject to change. Kirk Cousins is going somewhere, and he's probably going to be the starter there.
Yep.
So we can assume Cleveland, Denver, Minnesota we're hearing. Who knows where Case Keenum now lands, if Case Keenum is in fact scared out of Minnesota because of the presence. Where's Case Keenum realistically land?
He wouldn't have been the guy we'd have chosen for the Vikings.
The guy I was just – oh, what about – yeah, that's the question. Mitch Trubisky. Where do we go on that one? I should get that one based on your standard. If it's the start of the year, Mike Glennon was their starter.
But it's not of the year. It's who did they – who would
– I mean, I know you see this spaghetti. I know you're an objective third party to this.
What I'm saying is
– I should either get Jimmy G
who would they or have I desired should get Trubisky. To start every day.
Huh? What are you talking about? Mike Glennon, if he was 3-1, they weren't going to bench him.
What Hank is arguing, the direction of the franchise, right? Your selection as a franchise. This is our guy for the foreseeable future. And that obviously wasn't Mike Glennon.
Precisely.
Patrick is on television because he's able to articulate himself better
and
than
obviously, I am. Right. Well, but the 49ers certainly didn't think, optimally Jimmy G is going to be our starter when they didn't even have him on their roster.
Because it's not just the starter, it's during the season. Who, in an ideal world that was on their roster last season, who is their number one quarterback?
I don't know how you're going to make yourself throw up when you don't have fingers to put down in the back of your throat.
I don't need fingers.
But it's like no rational person sees the Texans make a trade to take Deshaun Watson and say, yep, there it is, Tom Savage.
By the way, I never attempted to claim Deshaun Watson.
Right, yeah.
I said Deshaun Watson is obviously
the best. At the stage that this happened, that you made this finger bet, Jimmy G was on the 49ers roster.
By the way, we don't know with Andy Dalton. You don't know Andy Dalton's going to be the starter of that team. And by the way, all this Blake Bortles. Oh, you're in trouble. Bortles is now the star. He's returning. If they take Lamar Jackson, as some are speculating, how do you know that that's not going to be the way they roll of the season?
But it's not that I don't know, but it's more likely.
What's the number right now? I haven't counted it up, and I guess we should really try to put up a board to track it. Our pal, who always tracks these things.
You've got Alex Smith in Washington.
DDFP, redflag.com tracks all these things for us, Andrew Raby does.
He does. He's already tracking that one.
Off the top of my – well, we know the Bills are not going to have Tyrod Taylor.
Jets and Cardinals as well, you didn't bring up.
Jets.
Well, I don't know about
Jets. So
you
need three more.
The Cardinals definitely – the Jets bring McCown back to be the mentor for a guy that they –
Maybe, but the Cardinals are definitely going
to
have one.
Just weird things to happen three times to get to your number.
This will go down to the wire. I think it's going to be really close.
That's not going to be that crazy. Minnesota's going to have a new starter. Bills are going to have a new one.
Unless they bring Sam Bradford back.
Jets may. You know, I feel very comfortable with where I stand right now.
What you should have done?
It's barely March. We're going to get there.
At the onset of this conversation, you should have picked the quarterbacks of record.
We'll have to go back and do that.
Emma keeps promising, but she's so busy doing all the other things she does that she hasn't gone back and listened to the show.
Bad news on Ryan. Zing.
First shot at Emma in 2018.
Someone has to occasionally. It's the only one we're allowed. One for the year.
Ryan.
Otherwise,
was it worth it?
Emma's like a golden.
You should save that up.
If that's the standard, that was, oh, boy. pretty.
I don't want to get in trouble. Believe me, poor Emma's. Emma's in charge of this place.
She'll write some bit about you, and then you'll get yours times ten.
You'll be crying again.
Maybe
you'll vomit.
Maybe there is a colorful retelling of Handsome's vomit story that you could script out for us from a VP.
Potentially, that was pretty great, though.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, why mess with? Why try to fix?
Can I play myself in this story?
I'd like that. I'd like that very much. Or I think who else could? Maybe we could get Matt Money Smith as Handsome Hank Hodgson. Also, I've been talking with Calais Campbell about coming back in here. Maybe we could have Calais Campbell as Handsome Hank Hodgson.
Yeah. Really, relive the whole thing.
The whole thing's like in iambic pentameter.
Imagine how low his voice would go when he was being sick.
That's an interesting point.
What's
yes.
that sound? I think it must be Calais Campbell being sick. It's like a whole new scale.
The whole thought behind
Sauron, is that you?
Bigger they come, harder they fall. It's like there's something extra sad about seeing somebody extra large. Yeah, you're right about that, right? Yeah, that's interesting. Wait, Spaghetti, did you just say we're at 40 minutes?
Yeah,
what? Of this show?
Hank's story was 25, and then
I'm so sorry. I'm so
you know, it's
sorry.
Fine. It was this whole episode. I think is like the funniest one ever between
it
Mo
it
and in your story.
Supposed to be funny.
It
made me laugh.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Although it is a little bittersweet because, as I already said, there's no video of this.
Only I'd been self-aware enough, Dave, to take a selfie video of myself.
Hello, Handsome Hank here, about to vomit on the 405 freeway. Looky here now, Instagrammers. What do we think about, bummer about Ryan Shazier, of course, the official news. I guess not a big surprise that he's not going to be playing for 2018. Mo Wilkerson cut. Now, that is a bit of a surprise, although he didn't exactly perform for the Jets in 2017. Do you want to speculate about where he lands, or are we premature on that, or do we not need that? Are we insinuating too much football into this
program? No,
we should
talk some football. Otherwise, people will wonder what the hell this is.
True. We just did the finger bed. I mean, what more can you ask for?
I suppose. I don't know where he's going to go. It is weird, though, that you know, Mo Wilkerson and that Jets defensive line, you know, 2-3 years ago, it was considered the absolute.
Isn't it funny how things turn over so quickly?
And
right?
And now they're all in different places.
And they've needed pass rushers forever, and they've missed on so many. And so one would kind of think, well, maybe you should try to make it work out with Mo. They're going another direction.
And by the way, I guess the angle on that we can sort of assess. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like I don't think I'm. I think I'm about like. 60. I'm in the 60th percentile of smart, and about 54th percentile in terms of physical handsomeness. You know, compared to society. So I feel like my grasp of things shouldn't be better than it is for the general population, and yet I find these things that make it clear that I do with some situations. Mo Wilkerson, I see a lot of Jets fans reacting on Wednesday that why couldn't they get something for him? Why couldn't they get something for him? Martavis Bryant, Steelers fans buzzing. Why not trade Martavis Bryant? Why don't they get a first round? Trade him for a first round pick. That's what they should be doing. Who do you – this
I
ongoing
love that stuff.
The ongoing thing, and it has been true since I was a child, listening to Myron Cope on the radio back in Pittsburgh. The people that call up that are sports fans who continue to have no grasp about value, the idea – and you see this in your fantasy league if you do fantasy football or fantasy anything else. People always offer you their junk so that you can
–
what? Wait a minute. Why? I offered you three guys. For your one great player, why is that not? Because they all three stink. What do I want your
if you don't
collection
want them,
of junk?
I don't want them.
Yeah, what do I want all your junk for? What am I, a moron? What are you thinking out there? Martavis Bryant is going to get you. How would you get a first round draft pick
I love
for Martavis
that stuff.
Bryant?
It's a bit like
one year from free agency, given his past, his uneven performance so far in the league. Listen, I have high hopes for him as a guy who's rooting for the Steelers, and I think you need to keep him if you're the Steelers because, as you saw at the end of the season, Antonio Brown is, in fact, mortal and can get hurt. If he gets hurt and you don't have Martavis Bryant, now you're down to Juju Smith catching passes for you, and that seems uninspiring to me.
It feels like sometimes, you know, you always say that the fan that says, in this situation, I'd have just called an 80-yard touchdown run. It's the same thing. Well, it's like they're, you know, why wouldn't you just trade? I literally saw this. The Dolphins have franchised Jarvis Landry. What they're going to do is they're going to trade him to Cleveland for their overall number one pick and then take the best quarterback. It's like, but in what world is the Cleveland Browns valuing Jarvis Landry with the first overall pick in the draft?
Exactly.
Are you crazy?
The teams play into this people not understanding thing because, like, Marcus Peters gets traded, right? And so then the Chiefs tell everybody, hey, look, we got everything we could for the guy. And everyone's like, yeah, you're right. They got the best possible deal. Because otherwise, you know, nobody wanted this guy. And all the other teams like, oh, of course we didn't want him. The Chiefs got the Rams way overpaid. Like, what are they supposed to say? Are the Chiefs going to say, well, we could have got a better
deal? By the way, we wish we'd done
better. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because we didn't talk about that last week because where the trade fell was
– I actually tried to, but then I was like, actually, I need to leave the room. That was actually running the thing to my mind. I was like, hey, Dave, we should talk about Marcus actually, no.
Yeah, chest buster comes out.
Yeah.
But it is weird. He is a high end. I know he's a gambler. I know he's a. I don't mean that in the Vegas sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
not Kenny Rogers.
He likes to take chances to get that pick six. He likes to see if he can be a hero out on the gridiron.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is I would have taken him if.
Absolutely.
I don't understand the lack of appetite for Marcus Peters. Very strange.
Well, you have to lower public opinion after you dump a guy.
I see.
It's no matter.
That's true. We have seen that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, with DeSean Jackson.
That's this time of year.
Yeah,
that's
by
exactly
the way, DeSean Jackson was a gang lord. And people are like, oh, really? It's like, oh, let me write this story about how he's literally Avon Barksdale. Like, what do we know?
Hey, let's
football player.
Let's switch into something else here before we get to old Mo Damashek. Patrick Claibon, you get the honors. Explain leap year. Make sense of it for us.
The Earth goes into orbit around the sun, but it doesn't take exactly 365 days. It takes approximately 365 and a quarter days. So every 4 years, we have to throw in another day.
Wonder who figured that out.
You know what? We don't have to.
Well, because
It's a little finicky.
Because if it didn't happen, what would be different?
We have computers that operate off of a function of time, and everything has to be synced up.
Yeah, just so,
would it be
it.
Like? But would it be like midnight black at 1:30 p.m. if
that
you
might,
didn't do
that
it?
That might happen. Like 2,000 years in, you might be like, "Wait, it's really dark for 1 p.m."
Well, that's the whole point of the Gregorian calendar. Like, you got to a point where they didn't have leap years, and all of a sudden, you know, it's supposed to be summer, and it's 36 degrees outside.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. And so they had to fix it.
Well, see, these Lucky people who figure Patrick. Everything out. I love it. You know, I try to help things out, like global warming, and I really think that this is what they're going to land on. Is that somebody, they're going to look back in about like 10 or 30 years, and they're going to be like, you know what, Dave was really on to something. I submit, just put a bunch of ice makers up at sounds stupid.
No, keep going.
Because it is stupid.
Dave, this is...
But really, if you just had ice makers up there going 24 hours a day, just making cubes spilling out, that wouldn't chill things. If I put ice into a glass of water, it makes it cold. If I put the ice makers up there on the edge of the North Pole and just was going in the water all the time, make it cold eventually, right?
Just an
ocean. How many are you
cubes.
Thinking? Like
I don't know.
Six?
I listen. Is I'm not about.
Is it crushed ice or is it the cubes?
I'm like Billy Blaze Jowski in yeah.
Is it the trays and you have a
trays.
Bunch of people that
you
are
gonna
like,
open them out.
I hadn't thought about
but these
that,
are football but, shaped.
You know what? I hadn't considered that, but yes, that's gainful employment for people who want it. Yes, you can
or
be
you
the
could
ice
train penguins grape. To do it. They're not doing it.
Now you're being silly. Now you're being ridiculous. Handsome.
Sorry.
It is great. I always trust that people are going to figure things out. And I think that we fall back on that. I think that's the same thing with global warming. Somebody smart will figure this out. We're running out of water here in the continental U.S. Somebody will figure something out. I think we all, most of us.
We definitely all believe. Unless
we
you're
all
the
think
smartest
because we've
person.
Seen things getting fixed. We've seen it happen. So now we're conditioned to, that could be a real crisis. Whoosh, polio. Not such a crisis. I heard it was a bit because they figured it out. I think that's. I think everybody plays by those rules. Who figured out? Let's go back to the first one. Who figured out? What's your hypothesis, Patrick Claibon?
Okay.
Of how we first ate a pig.
Hmm.
You know who decided?
I love all that.
Who decided? The best one.
I want to try that.
Go one. I'll do one simpler for you. Actually.
Okay.
Oyster. Doesn't even need to be cooked. Who did that one? Who's like, to figure out that you can crack it, first of all, that you can even crack the thing, right? Then once it's cracked, then you see what's in it. That's not appetizing. It looks like what came out of Handsome on the 405. Yeah, I don't want that. I'm not ingesting that. But somebody slurped it down. They're like, you know what? Not half bad. And then it caught on. You know, then the guy next to him's like, hey, try it with a little cocktail sauce. Now it really sinks.
Yeah.
You know?
Just straight up. The horseradish guy meets the oyster
like, hey,
guy.
I got now this. You got that. Great.
It's like the chocolate and the peanut butter. Like, whoa, that like, you know, about, you know, 10,000 years before that. Yeah, somebody's right. Like, whoa, the saw. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Who did that?
That was the philosopher Gorg. No, it was just some I think some hungry dude.
Back then, exactly. Everyone had to use their imagination more. There wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go to 7-Eleven and get myself a hot dog. It was like, we've got to find things to eat. It appears we need to, you know, because there was a period, must have been a period of time where people were like, I don't understand why everyone's dying. Oh, you got to eat. That's one of the things you need to do.
That's what I was talking to my kids
about. Then everyone gets that. Like, everyone's like, okay, guys, we need to eat stuff. Great. Okay, let's go do that. What do we eat? I don't know. Let's try that. Oh, he's dead. Okay, we don't.
Right, that's why. Like it's anymore. A berry thing. Like
so everyone, it's like a.
Wonder if this berry is good for us. I don't know. Why don't you try it out there, Glenn? Like, oh, Glenn. Oh, no. An hour and a half later, Glenn is dead. Like, note to the rest of us: don't eat those.
And then leave a sign next to them, just like, don't eat these. Things.
Here lies Glenn.
Yeah, they actually
Glenn.
Drag
he ate
Glenn
those berries
next to the bush.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he's a cautionary tale. Right. You hang him up next to, like, you lean him up on the
not
tree.
Good, not good.
And what I want to know is the conversation, right? So the guy that's like, well, if you take your pig and you put it in the fire,
that's
burn
what
it,
I'm
it's
fascinated
delicious.
By. Right.
It's like, what is that conversation
right.
like?
You know, but there was probably a point where it was like, okay, you know, hey, I. The other day, I caught myself a crocodile. It tastes delicious. And then everyone's like, okay, cool, we eat crocodiles. And then they all, like, everyone was grabbing crocodiles, eat, 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 eat. And then someone else was like, well, we're fine now, we're good. No, no, I got a pig. This thing's good. And then you'd have to persuade everyone in the room, I really, pig
well,
is good.
But was the...
Pig is better than crocodile.
Did it? Yeah, that's true. It is. But did somebody, like... Were they, did they have like a campfire going and like sure. they one of them had their pet pig there and that pig died and fell into the fire and they're like, oh no, he's a, wait a minute. Whoa,
good.
whoa, hold on a second. You know, RIP.
Stinker. Stinker
R.I.P.
smells good.
But boy, that smells delicious.
Yeah.
You know, like, wait, let's you know. Try and when life gives you lemons, you know.
And then Orlag shows up with, well, you know, I had some salt water, but now all I've got is these crystals. What if we put some of this on there?
Right.
Everybody's mind.
Who figured that stuff? And here's another one. One more, and then
that
we'll
stuff should
bottom.
Be recorded because we know all kinds of other things.
Here's
the person
one.
Who invented flight. Who cares?
Yeah.
I want like we all eat pig more often.
Yeah,
than we
by
get
that
on planes.
By the early 20th century, most of the riddles were right. solved at that point. Too much credit to the Wright brothers, in my
exactly.
opinion. Who's the guy who figured out? Hey, you know how we like to eat this this delicious little ball-shaped thing of fruit? We call them grapes. You know, we like to do those. Hey, you know what you can do? You can squash them. If you squash them down, they make it in liquid form. That's a juice. That's a nice liquid
nice,
that we can
that
drink.
Sounds good.
No, though. Let's put it away for like 3 years, and we'll see what happens.
Definitely someone forgot. That comes down to someone forgetting.
Do you really think so?
I made some grape juice. Where did I put it? And then 2 years later, they'd be like, I remember I put it back there. Oh, and I put it in this wooden barrel for some reason.
This stuff keeps forever.
This is delicious.
That,
I feel funny.
That has to be true.
Right.
That has to be true. How else?
That definitely is it.
What would be the process otherwise that would allow you to, if we crush it, let's see what happens. You would never do that on speculation. You would have to, it would have to be an accident.
And then they'd be like, okay, so it takes about 2 years. You know that you wouldn't, if you had such a great time with the wine that you'd made the first time around, would you have the self-control not to be like 6 months in, be like, I'm going to try it now. Because I'm not waiting 2 years. That was so much fun. You think I'm waiting 2 years to do that again?
Well, I think there's a word for that, and it's a hero. Whoever did that,
yes.
An accidental one or otherwise. Handsome, you're also a hero for coming in here. And now the people's hero. Here she comes out. And thanks to you as well, Claybon.
Thank you, Dave.
Follow Claybon. What's your thing again?
At Patrick Claibon.
At Patrick Claibon, one of the most fascinating ringiest social media follows out there. Yes, he talks about the game of football. He also is the hot takesman who weighs in on other people's, the worthiness of other people's takes. See, he doesn't just say, here's what I think about Gronk's potential retirement. He reacts to what other people are saying and whether or not there's any merit or anything to make fun of, in their opinions. Patrick Clay, also he talks a little bit of social justice as well.
A few things.
Yeah. This and that.
He's rangy.
He is rats. Like I, it's just like I said. Now, thank you both, and we'll kibitz with you both soon. But here she comes, everybody. My mother, Mo Damashek.
Dave Damashek.
Well, here she is, everybody. She has not even taken a single snap in her entire 60-some years on the Big Blue Marble or whatever her age is. I've lost track of it now. Nevertheless, she maintains the highest Q rating, I think, that has ever paid a visit here to Studio 66 or beyond any show I've ever done. I think she has the highest favorability rating, I think, of any guest we've ever had. It's Mo Damashek.
Hello.
What's the poop, Mo?
Nothing too much.
I ask
Happy
it to everybody else.
I know. Nothing to be here. I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, you always you understand the no jive policy. You always have. Let's start right out of the gate.
My policy.
Let's see some no jive out of you right now. Let's play a brand new game that we came up with in anticipation of your visit here, old Mo, and that is who's more handsome, Dave or Dave or Tom Brady.
Dave.
Correct. Ding. Do we have a ding sound effect to let her know that she's doing well to encourage her?
How many of these
good.
Are we going to do?
All right. Dave is more handsome than Tom Brady. Okay. Next up, John Hamm, a.k.a. Don Draper, Dick Whitman, actor, you know, cinema, A-lister.
John Hamm, but close, but David.
Really? I win that one, too.
You win that one, too.
You know what?
Close.
I agree. I agree with that one. Next up, late night television host Jimmy Kimmel, who has a beard now. He lost some weight and gained a beard, but, well, I mean, it sounds like he's copycatting somebody else, you know, but anyhow.
It's true. He's a very, very nice boy, but no contest, no contest at all.
I win that one, too.
You win that one, too.
I'll be honest with you, I was not worried.
And funnier, you.
Maybe. Really?
Well, to me, yeah. I mean, what do I
sorry,
know?
Sorry, fella. Next up, another funny guy who I've done a little bit of work with over the years, Adam Carolla.
No contest, you.
Oh, good. The way you paused there was a dramatic effect. I wasn't so sure.
Adam's good, but no.
One more here, Handsome Hank. He has a nice accent. That might sway you.
I do like Handsome. This one gives me pause.
Of all the people, not Don Draper.
No, not Don Draper, no.
Do the right thing here.
It's a sweep for you.
All right. We're out of the gate red hot. Mo has passed her introductory quiz there. Now, some other things that we wanted to get to here. MVP, is there anything you wanted to ask Mo? I know that she's achieved some form of legend around here because I've spoken of her, but you've never actually come face to face with her.
I know. This is so exciting. I mean, we talked a little bit about you potentially giving me some marriage advice.
That's true. I know. If
you
haven't heard the news, she's engaged to be married
mazel
now.
Tov.
Thank you.
Conversely, Eddie Spaghetti over there,
we're looking.
No. He's spoken for. He has a lady love, but he is happy that she lives like an hour or two away. He thinks this is a perfect situation.
You're waiting. I know that. I've heard.
He's a young man. Who's on the right track here?
Who's on the right track?
MVP about to, her significant other got down on one knee, proposed marriage, and
that's
she accepted.
Lovely.
And now he's going to move across the carriage, across the country, and they're going to inhabit the same four walls.
He acts like I don't listen to the show.
I know
all of these things already. Emma, I am so happy for you. If you want to be married,
thank you.
I'm sure it's making your family happy.
It is.
And it's great. But Eddie, if it works for him. And his girlfriend.
You can't please everybody. Don't try to be a diplomat. One is right and one is wrong, which
is
the right lifestyle.
No.
What would you advocate for a 20-something, a happening 20-something like you were
back in, I don't know, the 60s or so. You were you were a nurse running around the hospital working the third shift.
That's true.
Part of Mo's bio includes that she was a nurse for, and she would go, I don't know how this got to be part of your duties, but she had to go to the jail, the local jail, and treat the prisoners. That seems crazy, right?
Not the local jail. I was working for a doctor who did a lot of studies, and it was the federal, it was the penitentiary.
What kind of thing is that? To dispatch a nurse.
Oh, it was exciting.
Go contend with those guys.
I loved it. I loved it. I would go there every Tuesday morning. I loved it.
Did you give them any advice? Hey, next time, you know what you shouldn't do? Is whatever you did to get in here. Like that kind of.
Do not kill.
That living situation is more reprehensible.
Right. Do not kill two cops. You did that. That's not.
That was a bad choice.
I did tell him that, yes.
So, in other words, even though you disapprove of Eddie Spaghetti's lifestyle, you think it's better.
You're painting a really bad picture.
Than being in the pokey.
No.
You don't want to be in the pokey if you can help.
No. If you have a choice, don't do that. But no, don't get married until you're in your 30s for you.
Thank you.
But Emma, since you're already engaged, it's wonderful for you.
Quick.
Okay. What's your date? Wait, I have to find, what's her date?
Next, not till next fall. So we're taking our time as far as planning
that's
goes.
Good. Well, you need to do that.
Will Mo receive an invitation?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Good.
Could she be whatever it's called, master of ceremonies or whatever you call that?
When I thought you were doing that. People.
Yes.
I've offered.
Oh, you're going to be my first dance, right?
That's right. Spaghetti's going to walk you down the aisle.
Right. I have to be there for that.
Handsome will be my best man.
And Kent Brown gives the speech.
The toast speech, right? Yeah. I have to be there for that.
All right. Some questions for you, Mo. Who did Dave pick to win the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, guess what?
I
know Philadelphia. You picked the Eagles in the fall.
That's incorrect. I picked them to win the division, which was a great upset, but I picked the Seattle Seahawks to defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Gee.
That's very poor.
Well, that's because I didn't want to hear that. No, I didn't like that.
Who does Dave think the best wide receiver in the NFL is?
The guy that plays for the Steelers.
Yeah, what's his name?
Well, I don't know their positions. I told you, I listen to the part of your show where you talk and have fun. I listen to the football part, but...
Right, okay.
Antonio Brown, is he... Or Le'Veon Bell. I don't know who's who.
That's correct. Antonio Brown is correct.
Yes.
Next up, can you explain the catch rule as it currently exists?
Oh, when you have to catch it?
Right.
If you're a receiver, if you're like catching it like that, it's something with that, you can then put it across the line.
Right.
But if you fall.
Right.
Then you become something. No, obviously. But well, I don't think the people in the NFL who make those rules understand it either.
That's correct. That's the root of the problem. But what happens when you go to the ground?
When you go to the ground. Wait, when you go to the ground. Well, they keep saying then when they put the ball across that it's not really a thing. But are you supposed to stand up? I don't know. When you're on the ground. I don't know, but I don't think the referees do either. So
I think
I don't
care. A good explanation of it, and I'd like to see that married up with a referee. Like, you know, put the referee, like his mouth moving, and put Mo's explanation in there. Let's see if we can do that one.
I don't know.
Next up, should the Jaguars have re-signed Blake Bortles?
Oh, Blake Bortles is getting better. Yes, so I think, yes, that they should have. But they paid him really a lot of money.
Where will Kirk Cousins end up?
I don't know. Don't you want him to go, like, to Cincinnati or somewhere?
No, I was certainly not, like, a halfway decent guy. Oh, but you could have gotten more existential about that and said, like, in the ground where we all wind up, you know, or, like, something like that. You could have said that, but you attempted a football answer.
I don't go that dark.
Who's the best quarterback in this draft?
In this draft? Oh, I know his name. Is the kid from USC that's good?
Correct.
Is he going to do it?
Yes.
Yeah, he's good. But there's somebody – I don't know their names.
All right, well, you got the USC guy. We'll
USC
give you that one.
Guy, but there's somebody that might be better than
– I think I agree with that answer, yeah. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Three words that describe Dave.
Oh. three words. I have to pick that.
I mean, handsome's an obvious one, but since
– Well, since we've covered that.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Right, there are a lot of colors in my ring.
You're a great father.
Right. Well, that's not three words.
Oh,
You're a great father has already exceeded the allotted amount of work.
All right, stop. Intelligent?
Yes, correct. Let's get those dings going again. Yes.
Intelligent?
Yes.
I can't.
You want to go with handsome, you still can. No, it's not like it's off the table. If you want to go, there you can.
Handsome, artistic.
Ah, yes.
And, creative.
Yes.
Is that the same as artistic? So creative.
Yes. I like all three of those answers. Yeah. Check, check, and check. Yeah. When did you know Dave was going to be a big star?
When you told me. No. he always was funny, and his sisters really disliked how funny he was, because he'd get punished. He'd do things that were bad or wrong, and then he would make me laugh, and so his punishments always just disappeared.
They would disappear in the wind, and that's when Mo or the old man would yell at me. They would yell at me. They'd be like, David, you better not. And I would pretend like the force of their yelling was like a hurricane. I'd be like, whoa! Sean! And I'd fly up against the wall, and then she'd laugh at that, and then the punishment was vanquished.
One of the best things he did was, David, you understand what you did wrong. Do you understand why I'm so upset with you? I do. He's 10. I do, and I hang my head in shame. And I knew then. That's See? It. He's just funny.
Well,
he's
part funny. Of maybe I was informed by the possibilities of being a Dave or a Davey, if you will. Mo calls me Davey. She also explained for anybody who doesn't know why you refer to me as Slug. I thought for many years, I misunderstood. I thought you called me Slug because Nancy, the old comic strip, has her best friend is Sluggo.
Right. And that's why you are Slug.
Right. Well, I always thought because there's a picture of me when I was 1 year old and I was wearing a baseball outfit and it said on it, little Slugger. But instead. No.
People get confused. They think that you are very slug-like in your personality.
No. Yeah,
no, that is
absolutely
easy to wrong.
Make that mistake.
It's because you looked like Sluggo when you were little, who was Nancy in the comic strips. Friend, yes.
Do this quick. So I looked. So as a child, my own mother thought I looked like Sluggo. If you have ever seen Sluggo, you'll understand why that's so mildly offensive.
Little round person.
Now, from the you would read to me when I was right. wee. You would read to me, Davey plays football, and this is what probably imbued me with a sense of I can go on to greatness. Why don't you read a couple of excerpts from that from this classic children's book called Davey Plays Football?
Okay. Davey had a special wish, a secret wish. He wanted to play football with the big boys who lived on his street, but they wouldn't let him, and neither would his mother. His mother, no.
I remember.
This is really his book.
Also remember that. Remember that we are working here at the NFL, so you shouldn't disparage. Play football.
Sorry. Well, he had other talents. That's all. He played other things. One day, Davey was in his front yard. He had his hands in his pockets and was kicking the football along the grass. His head was down, and his lively brown eyes were almost filled with tears. Oh, that's sad. I don't remember that part.
Okay. Now, why don't you read these next three pages here?
This is where it gets good. Davey looked up and saw the sad faces of the big boys who lived on his street. "Hi, what's the matter?" asked Davey. "We've got a big football game today, and Jimmy can't play. Now we don't know what to do. We've got to find someone to take his place. Well, so long, Davey." Keep going. I have to see what happens now. Sorry. The boy started to walk down the street. Davey followed them with his eyes and his heart. What could he do? He had to play football with them. He just had to. "Golly whiz," said Davey, one of his favorite expressions.
That's always been to this day. I've enjoyed that. And then he did get to play, and then just read these two, and then that'll be that. This is good.
"Were they ever surprised? The boys thought it was a rocket." Davey obviously threw the ball, and it was great. "When they turned to see who had kicked it, there was Davey waving his arms and jumping up and down."
Here's the good part.
"Davey," they shouted. The boys ran toward him and yelled, "Hooray for Davey." Oh, that's a good book.
You know what? The sad thing is that in real life, that's never once happened.
Never once has anybody run towards me. Do you think it was unjust? It remains unjust that I have never once been given a parade in spite of the fact that I've correctly predicted this.
I had hopes for that, and then what did you get?
It was confetti. Turned into a joke.
Confetti
it was turned into
in
a
your
joke
eyes
by Handsome Hank.
That was a parade.
It was
no,
I was turned into some sort of a punchline.
I was very
for the amusement of Handsome Hank, but it's not the football gods, the gods of life smote Handsome Hank, mm-hmm. and they, you know how they say revenge best served cold, you know?
Yes.
Well, they delivered it to Handsome, because at the end of the show, if you listen to our episode from last week, or this week, I'm sorry, from this week with Mike Daniels, at the very end of our Gangbusters episode with Mike Daniels, Daniels leaves, and then we kibitz for another couple minutes, and Handsome promptly gets. That's it. I've got somewhere to be. So Handsome, why did he have to get out of here so quickly? It turned out he had to vomit, and he ran out of the room, and then he threw up on the floor. Spaghetti, is there any update on what happened there?
Yeah. So he said that you gave him the advice to go home. Because it was a Friday, so just go home early. You'll make it home. And
yeah, because if you throw up once, that may be the start of a nasty stretch for you. So right. If you throw up once, pro tip: get home as quickly as possible. Because as the illness really sets in and knocks you out, you could get stuck there. You could just be stuck. I can't get off the floor of my office, my rubbish office.
Right.
So I'm stuck here.
So he sat in his office like. Ladainian
and Tomlinson, do you have a bucket for? No, I mean, you're not going to help me, are you?
He contemplated whether he should go home or stay. And I guess this is around a little after 3 p.m. It's a Friday, so people are trying to leave work early. And I guess that time he spent contemplating in his office, the traffic accumulated. So he had like a 15 extra minute of a drive. Oh. And unfortunately, he let loose in his own vehicle on the ride home.
I've never done that. I can't imagine. You're just driving along, and you have to stay focused on the road. And, you know, that's violent. Your body, your body heaves. How can you stay focused on the road? I dare say that's even worse than texting while you're driving, is throwing up while you're driving. Yeah. Seems unsafe.
I'm with you. But I think he said it kind of went away that night, and he was better for the weekend. So
yeah, well, thank goodness. Yeah. That was just a warning shot. Don't mess with Damashek, Signed the gods of life. All right, a couple things real quick, Mo. First of all, rank everybody who works here that you know of. You have Emma VP, who you met. You like Emma VP. You often will say off the air, boy, that Emma VP sure is something.
Right.
Do you like her better than you like Eddie Spaghetti?
Well, I put you again, and it's getting ridiculous.
I'm one.
And silly. You're one.
That makes sense. That's only fair. Then you have Handsome Hank. Yeah.
I know. Matt Money Smith.
You have Maurice Jones-Drew.
I do. I have Cynthia Freeland.
Lately, we've had
Colleen Wolf.
Right. We've had Willie McGinnis joining us recently
I like Willie McGinnis.
You do.
Good. I like Patrick Claiborne. He's cute. I like you. Didn't have his picture, and
I didn't want to put Claiborne up there. Yeah, he is that's the most right. handsome that, devil in the
as you would
office.
Say. That's flying too close to the sun.
Yeah, that's right. Claiborne he is very there. Handsome. I've declared that.
Yeah, and but the people right
you're naming
here,
people now. You're dodging the
yes,
the
am.
Issue. Who do you like best of all the non-Daves? Who do you like best? Handsome, Maurice, Emma VP, Spaghetti. There's Kent Brown back there. He's from Pittsburgh. For what that
I
means.
Know. See, this is I am. You know I can't do this. I'm not going to do this.
All right. Well, name one person that you like.
I like Emma VP.
Okay, so that makes
like
your two.
Spaghetti.
No!
And with Handsome comes, I like Handsome a lot. He knows that. Though.
So Willie McGinnis is in last place on your list. I'll let him know. That's fair.
No
jive. That's
no,
what you should say.
No, he's good. I like him. You hadn't had him on a lot before.
So you like Willie more than you like Kent Brown. And you and so Handsome's way down at the bottom, eh?
No. This can't happen. No, Kent's from Pittsburgh. That's a special relationship we have.
Right.
And Handsome.
Now, for the record, you didn't like Charles Woodson. And still don't, because one time we were on a show together.
He was rude to you.
Right. And I said something that challenged his expertise, and he said in response, I don't even know what you're doing here.
That's right.
Right.
And I said
you didn't like, you sent me a text live on the air.
Yes.
And I read it, and he backed down very quickly.
He
backed down very quickly as soon as he knew that he had raised the ire of one Mo Damage.
But I have a very long memory. So Charles Woodson, no.
Which grandchild do you like best?
No.
Just among my children. You don't have to weigh in on any of the sisters.
But no. They're all true.
Oprah, Jean-Claude Van Damme-shek, football baby, football baby girl. Which one do you like best?
No, there's not. For each age.
Who do you like least then? Who's your least favorite out of that group?
I'm not going to name that. You know I'm not going to do that. That's not going to happen.
But I'm your favorite child, though, of the ones that you born into this world.
You are my favorite boy. You're my favorite son. At that, there's no question.
Being cute. I won't stand for it. I don't like that one bit.
No.
All right. I think we've covered it all here. What do you think, MVP? What else do we need to do?
I got one more for you. Has Dave had any run-ins with the police? Does he have any kind of record?
Interesting. You can share. You can tell some stories about.
David has never told this story on air. And it, really? Because you never tell this story.
I don't think
David
so.
Was a junior in high school. He went to a party. He, of course, had no idea that there would be alcoholic beverages and perhaps some drugs at this party.
That's why I brought my own beer, because I didn't know if they would
have
beer.
That's right. There was beer in the trunk of the car.
So my friends, Brett and Richie and Ben and I picked up some beer to take. We didn't want to get there and then be, oh, we didn't know beer. Oh, well, we have some.
It was a sad story because the house was owned, as I remember, by a very elderly man, and his caretaker would put the old man upstairs and have parties for high school kids.
He was bedridden. The guy couldn't leave his own bed. So his nurse would throw parties, and because we noticed, my friends and I, that this guy had been throwing parties three straight weekends. And we couldn't, well, that's weird. This person's parents are out of town all this time. Who is this girl who goes to whatever high school? We didn't know what high school she went to. But so we went to this party, and it turned out that the guy was dealing drugs out of the basement, and he would put the owner of the house up on the top floor, and like I say, was bedridden, and he would have high school kids there. And suddenly we're at this party, and we see the rollers going outside the windows. What gives? Why is the popo here at this party? And one by one, they started filing everybody up the stairs one by one. And as we got to the top of the stairs where the kitchen was, there was just a pile of drug paraphernalia. And square otherwise, my friends and I were all slack-jawed. What? What? Where are all these drugs? We legitimately had no idea. Who is holding all these drugs at this party that we're at? They were all just thrown under a table before they reached the police, who were frisking people at a certain point on their way out the door. And then they loaded us all into paddy wagons and took us downtown.
But weeks later,
the Pittsburgh police.
David's friends tell me, because none of them, people in our family don't go to jail. Well, my cousin shut up a bar. He went. But people in our family don't usually go to jail. So these
He's
kids,
from Aliquippa, though. He was one of them. He was one of them Zoo Basics from Hopewell, Aliquippa, like Ditka.
He was.
You weren't allowed to play with Mike Ditka when you were growing up, right? Why is that again?
Because he pulled on your underpants when you hung from the monkey bars.
If you were a girl.
If you were a girl.
I want to make sure everybody understands.
My father
that.
Said you're not allowed
to play with Mike Ditka.
He wasn't a weirdo or anything. No. No. Anyway, so Dave, they're in the paddy wagon. These kids are not accustomed to the police taking them away. And I was told by David's friends a couple weeks later that it's silent in the paddy wagon until David started singing Three Cheers for Our Bus Driver.
They, as for the record, they did not think that was funny.
No, they did not. So,
and I got yelled at also by a policewoman because I sat down somewhere and she said, "Hey, you ain't at a party no more." and she made me get off her desk, and she was very cross with me. I'm like, I have committed no crime, you know.
But wait, let me get. So we get a call from the father of one of David's friends. He said, "Look, the boys are at the number 3 or whatever police station. I'm 5 minutes from there. It'll take you about 20 to get here. I'm going to go and pick them up." And we're like, what? Oh, no, what happened? Okay. Now, David's sister, David's a junior, so Debbie is a sophomore in high school. Our house in Pittsburgh, traditional entry, up at the top was a railing. Debbie is delighted. This time, he cannot get out of this one. He went out of jail. This time he's really going to get it. She is so delighted. She's calling Amy, who's in college. Ah, he's getting it this. Okay, no. So it's all settled. Father calls us back. I have the boys. I took David to his car. He's home, coming home. We're in the entry. Car pulls up. We are really angry. His father and I are really angry. David really throws open the door and says, before you say anything, I want you to sue the city of Pittsburgh and their police department. Their language to children was terrible.
It was an outrage. And I, as a citizen,
and Debbie,
was concerned.
And Debbie was like, oh, he's going to get away with it again. He's going to get away with it again.
One
and
last
then,
thing.
Wait, before, and his father started to speak to show how angry we were. And he said, before you say anything, just one more thing. And he was wearing a jacket, and he went into his pocket, truly, and he said, I brought presents for everyone. He had taken pencils from the police station and gave us each a pencil.
You know why?
And Debbie was infuriated. He got away with it again. She's laughing. And look at it. And that
people, the reason I did that is people get sad that they don't get to be a part of some adventures. But if you bring them something back, they feel like, you know what? Now I am a part of it.
He brought us
presents. That's why I did that. Because I'm classy. I'm thoughtful. Uh-huh. One last thing, speaking of being thoughtful, was my friends who I mentioned before and I, we would sometimes, I think I've mentioned this before, we could start each weekend by, there was a place in Swissvale, Edgewood Swissvale, that Kent Brown surely knows mm-hmm. about. I forget what it was called, though,
McBrooms.
But it was a drive through. No, it wasn't McBrooms.
The Swissvale one. Okay.
Well, you can't really name it. You don't want to call them out. But but we would go through this beer distributor that was drive through, and they would just, you'd pop the trunk. They would throw the case or cases of beer into the trunk, and off you'd go. They didn't ask any questions, and we told them many lies. And so we would do that each Friday. And then on Monday, we would, my friend Richie and I, whatever was left over, we would finish that off just before basketball practice.
Wonder why they were the 11th and 12th men on the basketball
12th and 13th.
That was fair. That was my follow-up to the high school question. It was, yes, Dave's athleticism. He often talks about the basketball team. I want to hear exactly how that went.
Basketball, the saddest thing at the basketball.
I got good
when
rests.
He went to take the shot and hit him right. Oh, I was his mother. I was in the stands. People were cheering
well,
for me. It was his moment. I felt sad for
him. I had dreamt of making a three-pointer my whole
career. And he could make them in our driveway. We never left our house before we each took a foul shot.
Finally,
I used to be able to do that.
With a minute left and a blowout, the last game of the season.
It was just terrible.
There was they put in Richie, who's the 12th man. They dressed me because we were seniors. So Richie went on with a minute left, but I still wasn't in the game. And my generous teammates, well, I now have realized in hindsight and the assorted fans that were in the pullout stands that day, they were laughing at me. I didn't know that at the time, but they were saying, put in Shaq. And then people started chanting Shaq, you know, and I thought, put in Shaq. And I thought, how flattering. Why I didn't realize none of these people liked me and they all thought I was a nerd, why they would want to see me. It didn't fully set in. Either way, I was certain I was going to make it. And everybody on the team knew that what I could do is, if you left me all by myself, and I was the guy who, I was the zone buster in practice. They would feed me, and you'd have to get out and stop me from making the shot from the perimeter. That was the one thing I could do. I knew I would make this shot. So with 20 seconds left in the game, the other team was at the free throw line, and everybody on the bench was waving, get back, Dave, get back. And so I went and stood at the top of the key instead of on the foul line. No, further back, they said. So I did. I went to the 10-second line. No, further back. Now it's ridiculous. I'm all by myself at the one end of the floor. The guy misses the free throw. They get the rebound. They give it to Richie, who quickly gets to midcourt with the ball. I'm all by myself. There's a guy closer to Rich than to me as I make way to the right baseline, my favorite spot on the floor where I knew I would drill it. I get to that spot. I set my feet. By this point, Richie and the guy are making their way to me. Richie throws me a long pass. I see it, and I can feel out of the corner of my right eye, I can feel the student body rising to their feet collectively to erupt when this three-pointer hits the bottom of the net. I see the ball on the way. I think it'd be a shame when I make this shot if my toe is on the line. I just better make sure. So I just check down quickly to make sure that my feet are in the right place. They are. I look back up, and the ball's already on me, and it hits me in the hands and goes out of bounds. And that's the end of my high school sports athletic career.
But we can't leave on a sad note.
That
David,
was it.
But how about when you played Little League?
I don't let when I pitched I threw a no hitter for three innings. Then at the start of the fourth, I walked the bases full. Then the only girl in the league came to the batter's box, and I plunked her right between the shoulder blades, not intentionally. And that was the end of my day.
And then he was afraid of the ball after that someone was going to hit him. But you could steal bases like nobody else on your team.
I was clever. What I lacked in foot speed, I made up for with the cunning of a mongoose.
That's very true.
What Mo did, though, so we would pick up this beer, you see. We'd get these cases of beer. And one time we left a case in partial case of beer in the trunk. And I guess the car broke down. My friend Brett's car broke down. And his father found the case of beer abandoned in the car when he took it into the repair shop. And then we said, in the following weekend, my friends and I said, oh, we still have that leftover beer from last weekend. We can tap into that. We went to get the case of beer, opened it up. The case was still there, but it had been all the beers had been replaced by Coke cans.
Good. That was a good
all Coca-Cola cans. That was the joke that they played on us.
Oh, his mother and I thought that was great. They went, they took it to the service.
Oh, they thought it was
department.
Funny. Oh, but then we found that they took those cans of beer. They didn't throw them away. They stuffed them into a closet. We found them and we drank them anyway.
Well, that part we didn't know.
Your move, Mo Damashek. Your move. Anyway, yeah. All right, that's it for old Mo. The old man is behind the glass there. He and Kent Brown have fallen very much in love as they talk about the banks of the Three Rivers. Dude, you remember that kid? He went to Blawnox. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I went to East Allegheny. Yeah, yeah. My brother played down at the U. Yeah, like I treated a guy from there. Yeah, I used to be the doctor there for you remember Sal Sinceri?
Yeah, I remember.
That's
anyway,
right.
that's their back and forth behind the glass. Perhaps that should be a show of its own.
Yes, it could be.
In the meantime, thanks for coming in, old Mo.
You're welcome, Slug. Thank you all.
That's Dave Damashek.
All right, so there it is, the final tally from Mo Damashek. She thinks Claybon, she insinuated it at least, that Patrick Claybon is more handsome, but I did defeat you. Handsome, and she did feel the same sense.
She thinks that you're more handsome than I am.
Yes.
I wouldn't argue with that.
And she also also agreed with my assessment that the God smote you for your mean-spirited confetti throw on my head a couple months ago.
That was not mean-spirited at all.
All right.
You wanted confetti? You got confetti. You got a parade.
Mo Damashek weighed in on that.
I bet she was upset because you talked about how much the plastic hurt your poor little bottom. I've got plastic spiking my bottom.
Did we talk about that? Because that confetti really did. I don't know where you got that industrial-grade confetti.
That was MVP.
Like knives.
And that is what I mean. MVP, looks sweet, but she's got a mean streak in her.
Mini knives on my unmentionables.
I earnestly did look up the cost of having an actual Culver City parade for you.
That's nice. See, that's classy, handsome.
We looked into high school marching bands, but then I landed on that confetti. So that's kind of how that went down.
Painful confetti.
All right. Excellent work by everybody as usual. We'll kibitz with you next week. But in the meantime, do go back, subscribe, download, rate, tell your friends and family, or tell your villains if it's awful. You know, maybe it'll make them sick and you'll be happy for it. You can do that however you want. Go back, find the Reggie Wayne episode, the Mike Daniels episode. Great stuff with those guys. Great stuff with these fellas as well. We'll kibitz with you next week. In the meantime, been a thin slice of heaven.